At times, throughout each of our lives, we reach a point where we're just ready to toss in that towel. We are ready to give up. We are tired. We are frustrated. We are exhausted. We reach that point where we feel that there is just no use in trying to continue to move on. Whether it is a job, a relationship, health-related problems, school, trying to lose weight, or whatever else the issue facing us may be, we sometimes just do not see any light at the end of the tunnel. We would rather quit than fight. We're ready to throw in that towel. And I ask you, have you ever been there before? I know I have. Many years ago, there was a man in Kentucky who had recently retired from his work at the post office. He was sitting on his front porch when his first Social Security check arrived. He looked at it, and he felt so frustrated. He thought to himself, is this all I have to look forward to for the rest of my life? He put in a long and hard career, but he felt he had little to show for it. Was it really worth all of that hard work? I kind of felt that same way when I got my first Social Security check. What happened to all that money? He sat down and he made a list of all of his blessings. He listed all the good things that he had going for himself. And included in that list was his mother's famous recipe for fried chicken, which included 11 different herbs and spices. He was the only one who knew that recipe. So he went to a nearby restaurant, and he asked if he could cook the chicken for the restaurant owner. He gave him permission to do all the fried chicken orders. And in a matter of time, it became such a popular item on the menu that he decided to open his own restaurant, and he called it Kentucky Fried Chicken. The rest is finger-licking good history. Harlan Sanders was tired and frustrated, but he refused to give up. Now, the Franciscans were the first to systematically grow grapes in California. They grew the Muscat grape to make Muscatel wine. And one year, there was a terrible drought. The grapes withered on the vines, and they thought they were going to lose everything that they had. Needless to say, they were very disappointed. But some of them took those withered grapes to town, and they sold them as Peruvian delicacies. And that was the beginning of the Sun-Made Raisin Company. Those Franciscan monks had a potentially disastrous problem, but they refused to give up. Now, there is currently a terrible health problem running its course throughout our land. It's one of the worst illnesses around. It is a universal disease that is highly contagious. And if you are around someone who has it, you can catch it very quickly. It's called the disease of discouragement. Discouragement has been defined as the feelings of despair in the face of obstacles. It is when you are just tired of putting forth the effort. You are ready to call it quits. Now, we've all been there before, haven't we? You may even be there right now. You may be ready to give up on whatever you have been battling with for so long. It's something like that old song, Home on the Range. Now, Pastor Val is brave enough to sing it for you, or sing for you. I won't. I'll just say the words. But those words were, wherever is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Our text today is found in the book of Nehemiah. Please read with me Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 through 14. And Nehemiah wrote, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked on all with all their heart. When Zabalah and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Amalekites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs on Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "That strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that they cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemy said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." And therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember, the Lord is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." Now, this is a great story about both the causes and the cures for discouragement. Many years ago in the history of Israel, many years earlier in the history of Israel, the walls of Jericho had been destroyed. The people were defenseless. They were vulnerable to their enemies. And Nehemiah was called by God to lead the people in rebuilding the walls. But it seemed as an impossible task. The morale of the people was low. They were very discouraged, and they could not see any light at the end of that tunnel. In exploring this story, we can discover their causes of discouragement. First comes fatigue. The beginning of verse 10 reports the strength of the laborers was giving out. Now, in doing some research, I found out that there's a good old southern term often used to describe this situation. They were just gived out. Have you ever felt gived out? The people of Israel had worked for a long time, and now they were just totally exhausted. When you are physically tired and worn down, it is almost impossible to be emotionally and spiritually up. So what's the best thing to do when you feel fatigued? Get some rest. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is just go to bed and get some sleep. Now, however, I want to remind you at this point, it's not spiritual to do that in church, so you're not excused from nodding off during this message. Vince Lombardi once said, "Fatigue makes cowards of us all." Isn't it amazing how much better things seem to be after a good night's sleep? Fatigue can often lead to discouragement. Therefore, it's vitally important that we do get the proper amount of rest. Fatigue and discouragement usually occurs when we're halfway through whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish. And the writer wrote in verse 6, "So we rebuilt the wall until all of it reached half its height." Everyone has energy at the beginning of a task, but halfway through, we begin to wonder if we're going to make it. And when you reach that midpoint of climbing a mountain, you see how far you've come, and you see how far you still have to go. You're tired, and you're wondering if you should even try to continue. And that's why so many people never finish what they start, because halfway there, they're worn out, and they give up. Are you worn out and discouraged? Get the rest you need, and that will help solve the problems. The second thing that happens is frustration. Now, later on, go back and read the last part of verse 10. Nehemiah reported, "There is so much rubble in trying to rebuild the wall." They discovered that there was litter and rubble and debris and trash everywhere in the way. There were broken bricks. Mortar was getting in the way. And they became frustrated. I remember one day a few years ago, Teresa decided that she was going to clean out the linen closet. And she told me she was going to clean it and organize it. What a mess she had as she tore everything out of it and threw it on the floor in the hallway. I thought, man, how is she ever going to get it put back together? But you have to realize that there are times where you do have rubble, you do have clutter, but you know that you can work through it. If you've ever remodeled a house or done any kind of building, you know the frustration of rubble lying in the way. Whether it's at home, at work, or at school, it just seems like rubble never goes away. You accomplish one task, and there's another one to be done. Before long, you're feeling frustrated. Before long, you're feeling irritated. You cannot avoid the rubble, but you have to be able to organize it. You have to be able to know what to do with it, or you will never reach your goal. Rubble is anything in your life that keeps you from accomplishing your goals. Now, many made New Year's resolution, but they found that the rubble was getting in the way. Perhaps you made the resolution that you were going to read the Bible more this year, but then you find that there's too much noise in the home for you to be able to concentrate. Perhaps you wanted to lose weight, but you find that there are too many snacks around the house. You need to be able to recognize the rubble and know what to do with it. So you need to ask yourself the question, what distracts me? What eats away at my productive time? And that is your rubble. It will frustrate you. It will discourage you until you do something about it. And third comes failure. Verse 10 also tells us we cannot rebuild the wall. They did not meet their deadline in finishing the wall. They became discouraged, and they were ready to give up because in their eyes they had failed. Their confidence was shot. They lost heart. They lost their enthusiasm. They gave up because they had failed to accomplish their goal. And failure is a major cause of being discouraged. Just about the time I think I'm going to make ends meet, somebody moves the end. The question is, how do you respond to failure? How do you respond when you do not accomplish your goals on time? Do you blame yourself or do you blame someone else? People who have learned to win in life have learned how to get back on the horse after it has bucked them off. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Successful people see failure not as an end, but as a temporary setback. The death of Jesus on the cross was not a failure. It was only a 3-day setback. Never give up when you have failed. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And fourth is fear. In verse 11, we read, also our enemies said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to the work. Their enemy was doing everything they could to see that the wall would not be rebuilt. They ridiculed them. They criticized them. And finally, they threatened them. The Jewish people were discouraged due to the fear of being hurt or even losing their lives. And that was illustrated in verse 12. Wherever you turn, they will attack us. Fear certainly causes us to be discouraged. So what are your fears today? Fear of failure? Fear of rejection? Fear of health problems? Fear of being criticized? Fear will certainly cause feelings of discouragement in our lives. And when you're discouraged over fear in your life, the only thing you want to do is to pack your bags and leave. The bad thing is that when you leave, fear and discouragement are never far behind you. Okay, so far our Bible text this morning has taught us that we can identify four things that cause us to feel discouraged. Fatigue, frustration, failure, and fear. If you're feeling discouraged today, you can be sure that one of those four is a central cause of it. And this is just a part of the message. Now, we could all sing our closing song, Kelly, and leave and possibly feel really down on such a depressing message. But what do we do with the information I just shared? Let's look at some of the cures for discouragement. First, I mentioned rest your body. When you read the entire fourth chapter, Nehemiah actually gave his people some holidays. He gave them some time off to get the proper rest that they needed. And as I already mentioned, one of the easiest and the best things you can do to help with discouragement is to get away and get some rest. It's not a sin of laziness to do this. We know that Jesus often went away by himself to get the rest that he needed. In our busy schedules, we can make the excuse, I don't have time to rest. Please listen carefully. If you cannot make time to rest now, you will find time to rest in the hospital later on. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 127:2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. God created our body to work, but he also created it to get the rest that we need. And it's so important that God made it one of the Ten Commandments, saying that every seventh day shall be set aside for rest. Secondly, reorganize your life. We're taught in verse 13, therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, their spears, and bows. Nehemiah did not give up on the goal. He just reorganized the people and he put them in their proper places. When you're discouraged, it does not necessarily mean that you're doing the wrong thing. It can mean that you're doing the right thing, but in the wrong way. God is not asking you to give up on your dreams. He's asking you to just go after them in a different way. His way. So that means we have to reorganize and do it in a different way. If you're in debt, reorganize and do things differently. If you're waiting to lose some weight, reorganize your eating pattern. If you're overcommitted, reorganize your time. To beat discouragement does not mean that you give up and quit. We simply need to reorganize and do things differently. Now, please observe that Nehemiah grouped them by families. And that's why we need each other in our homes, and that's why we need each other in our church. Throughout the Bible, we hear the phrase, one another. God knows that we need each other to keep us from getting discouraged. We're told to love one another, to encourage one another, to serve one another, and to pray for one another. We need the support of our families at home and at this church in order to keep from getting discouraged. And if you're feeling discouraged today, reorganize, make some changes, find support from your family at home and at church. The third thing is, remember the Lord. Reading verse 14, we are instructed to not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. When feeling discouraged and when feeling worn out, you must get reconnected and recharged with God. One morning recently, I put some waffles in the toaster for breakfast, and I began to wonder why they had not popped up. A few mornings later, I got up early and made coffee. And Teresa said, why is the coffee not ready? It's because neither the toaster or the coffee pot had been plugged in. It was not connected to the source that was needed. So we must get connected with the source, typically when we feel discouraged. We've got our eyes on the problem. We've got to take them off of the problem and put them on the Lord. We need to remember our source for living in times of discouragement, and we need to get reconnected. Remember God's faithfulness to you in the past. Remember his closeness to you in the present. Remember his power for you and the future. Let me say that again. Remember God's faithfulness to you in the past. Remember His closeness to you in the present. Remember His power for you in the future. When feeling discouraged, get your mind off of the problem and on to the Lord. Remember who God is and all He has done for you. And the best way to do this is to make time to spend in His Word. David said in Psalms 119:25, "I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word." Over and over again throughout the Bible, God tells us to be encouraged. He assures us all of His presence and His faithfulness in all our discouraging times. But you will never know it unless you read it for yourself. Remember the Lord. Get reconnected by studying His word. And fourth, resist the discouragement. Verse 14 tells us, Nehemiah said to fight for your family and home. Do not give up. Do not roll over and play dead. Get in the battle and fight for what is important to you and resist the discouragement. Dwight Moody said, "I've never known God to use a discouraged person. Keeping us discouraged is Satan's biggest weapon against us. The Bible reminds us that we're not fighting against things that are physical, but we're fighting against spiritual forces. Satan knows that if you and I are discouraged, that he's won the battle because we will not feel like doing anything godly in our lives. We must make the choice to resist discouragement and continue to fight. Discouragement is always a choice, not just a feeling. You choose to stay on the ground, or you choose to get back up on the horse. But remember that if you're on the ground, Satan is satisfied. Resist the discouragement in your life. Fight for your families. Fight for your homes. Fight for your church. And when you exit through those doors of our church today, you must determine what it is that's causing the discouragement in your life. Is it fatigue? Is it frustration? Is it failure? Is it fear? And once you have identified it, you must do something about it. Rest, reorganize, remember, and reconnect with God. Resist it. Reload and keep fighting the battle. But never give up. Perhaps the most important thing to do when feeling discouraged is simply to pray. David felt discouraged throughout the Psalms and told God how he felt. When was the last time you told God how you felt? He's waiting to hear from you. He does not care whether you're angry. He does not care if you are depressed, frustrated, or worried. He just wants to hear from you. Put all your eggs in one basket, and then give that basket to God. Discouraged today? Remember, it's time to get reconnected.